Lord dropped a verse in my heart, or actually a whole chapter, but I'm not going to preach right now. That's later, right? The Bible says the Lord is my what? My shepherd. I shall not, right? I shall not want. I love that. Verse 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. And everybody always forgets this part. He restores my soul. Well, isn't that good? Your soul is your mind, will, and your emotions. You know, we have a body. We have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. Then we have a spirit, which is what goes to heaven. And that's what should lead us, right? But he restores my mind, will, and emotions. Think about it that way. Well, isn't that good? So today, let God restore you. I just feel like today's going to be a day of restoration. Yeah. A day of restoration. We get restored back to our original settings. I'm an engineer and I'm a computer guy, Doug knows. Sometimes we have to restore our computer back to its original settings. Sometimes we need to restore our soul back to its original settings, where we just remember where we first got saved. Remember what God has done. So he restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Praise God. And then he said, yay, yay. How about we say yay, God?
Yay, God.
I know that's not what it says there, but I just say we say yay, God. Yay, God. Yay, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art, what? With me. Thy rod, that the power, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Selah. Amen. Praise God. Glad to see everybody out. We welcome all our visitors. I don't know how many visitors. I know we got a couple, but we thank y'all for coming. Welcome all our church folks. And praise God. Let's just worship God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then we will have our announcements. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this day. God, let it be a day of restoration. God, you restore our mind, will, and emotion, Father God. Restore us today. Father God, make us what you want us to be. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Well, good morning again. And if you'll place your prayer request and visitor information when we do the offering this morning, and today is our special offering day. Since the nursery and next door is still under restoration, then please, children, stay in here with your family, sit with your parents or whoever brought you. Prayer today in the chapel at 5 o'clock. Our evening worship is at 6. And Wednesday Bible study at 7. So please take advantage of any and all of these services. I promise you won't be disappointed. You know, just keep A.D. Blunt and his family in your prayers as they, you know, Miss Linda went home to be with God. And so those of us who have been in that place, all of us, have lost a loved one at some point. Just keep them in your prayers, okay? Keep them lifted up. So, in Jesus' name, are you ready to praise God this morning? All right, let's do it.
Amen, amen. Let's all stand, please. God is so good today.
Every praise is to our God, every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God, glory hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. God, every word of worship in one accord. worship and one accord. Every praise is to our God.
Sing hallelujah.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. God my Savior.
Bit just soft. God my Savior, God my healer, God my deliverer.
Glory.
Yes, He is. And Brother Jerry, this morning I was reading and I read Psalms 23 out of the Passion Translation. And if you give me the liberty, I want to read it to you. It says, "The Lord is my best friend and my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers me a resting place in His luxurious love. He tracks me to an oasis of peace, the quiet brook of bliss. That's where He restores and revives my life. He opens before me pathways to God's pleasure and leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness." You notice that said His footsteps of righteousness. So I've been made the righteousness. I've been given Jesus righteous so that I can be righteous. It's not my righteousness. It's not how many pies I bake or how many times I go to Sunday school. It's all about Him. So it says He leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness, so that I can bring honor to His name. Because the only way you bring honor to His name is when you realize His righteousness, not my righteousness. Amen? Because I can't do anything to bring honor to Him, only through His righteousness in me. Amen? Lord, even when Your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, and we've all been in that valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me. That's a good confession. Fear will never conquer me. For You already have. Amen. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of Your love takes away my fear. There it is again, that word fear. We're not supposed to have that. Amen. The comfort of Your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, Lord, for You are near. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of Your Holy Spirit. You give me all I can drink of, until my heart overflows. So why should I fear, there's that word again, the future? For Your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. So God's pursuing us all the time. He's talking to us all the time. Thank you, Lord. Then afterward, when my life is through, it's not over when I die. No. I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. So if you get down this week, or even if you don't, read that out of the Passion, because it is woohoo awesome. It's awesome in the King James, but hallelujah. Somebody praise him. Woo, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Lord.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies.
Woo, yeah.
I raise a hallelujah.
Hey.
of the stone. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive.
Woo! Yeah! Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Woo-hoo! The King is alive. The King of kings. Not just any king, amen? It's the King of kings.
I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. In this holy moment, I never want to leave.
Sing that again. I'm caught up.
Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Oh, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry, Lord, when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. Nothing else will do.
Nothing else will do.
Oh, there's nothing else, Lord.
I just want.
nothing else. Nothing else will do. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you.
Thank you, Lord. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
praise you,
God.
Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain.
Break every chain.
Right now, Lord, I believe you.
Chains today, and you're holding on them like they're a precious necklace.
Come on.
And you won't let him break them. He says, time to let go.
Yeah.
Let him break the chains that's holding you back.
That's right.
Don't hold on to them anymore. He says, stop holding on to them because they're not precious. He is.
Yes.
They're not precious. Those chains need to break and go and fall off. He said, let Jesus break those chains and become precious to you.
Yes.
Ooh, let him be your precious.
Yeah.
Because he is precious to my soul. So you need to let go of those chains. There's some here that need to let go.
Yes.
There's some need to let go of those chains and let Jesus break them today.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody's about to receive it. I hear those chains falling, Jesus. And I hear those chains falling. And I hear those chains falling, Jesus. And I hear those chains falling. There's power. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain.
Break every chain.
To break every chain. every chain.
I hear those chains.
To break every chain. To break every chain.
I hear those chains.
To break every chain. Jesus.
Chains of bondage of unforgiveness.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice.
Amen.
And you have to make the choice. And you say, devil, today, July the
12th,
those chains are broken. I choose to forgive that person. I choose to forgive whoever that person is. Just say it under your breath. I choose to forgive that person. These chains will not hold me down. They're not going to keep my prayers hindered any longer. These chains are broken. In the name of Jesus, God desires to see those chains piled up by your side and off of your neck. I'm telling you, the chains of unforgiveness can bind you, keep your prayers from being answered, keep you from flowing in the gifts, keep you from flowing in the fruits. Let it go. Unforgiveness is a luxury you cannot afford. I don't know who you are. I feel like there are several. But God said, let it go this morning. Make the choice this morning to let it go. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Let it go.
That's good.
Let it go. The chains are broken. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
You know where Diane said, forgive yourself. That may be it. You may be holding something. You're saying, well, I can't receive that from God because I did this or I did that. Until you know you're righteous through Jesus, can't receive anything from God, because we're not worthy, but He is worthy. So He made us worthy, and He says, as I am, so are you in this world. So today, know that God wants you healed. He wants you well. He wants you whole and well. You know, in the Bible it says, if a child comes to you and asks for a fish, would you give him a scorpion? We wouldn't do that to our children, no matter what they had done. I don't care what they have done. We wouldn't do that. And God is our prime example. Neither will He. If you come to Him, He's close as the mention of His name. So remember that today. And don't disqualify yourself, because God never disqualified you. He said you are qualified. You are qualified through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. God, help us not to qualify ourselves. God, show us that we are worthy through your precious blood. Thank you, God. That blood that flowed down Calvary's mountain. And it's just as precious today as it was back then. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Praise you, Father. you, Lord. Y'all just stay in worship. You can be seated if you want to. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. I want to share something real quick.
Amen.
Holy Spirit really speaking to me this week. I don't know why this week, but about, you know, my time on this earth. You know, I'm 56 years old now. You know, I'm really, really old now. So
speak for yourself. Exactly.
You know, the enemy
exactly
comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But the enemy is always trying to remind me of the weak points I had in my life. Year, two, different periods, you know. Even after I knew God, things I went through, you know. And I'm like, you know, that's like a minute amount of time out of 56 years. So the Holy Spirit basically leading me to, you know, realize that that little time wasn't nothing, you
Amen.
Know.
Amen.
The
that's
enemy,
right.
You're under my feet.
Yep.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good.
That number one would surely be me. And I thought I would be what I wanted to be. And I thought I could build on life's sinking sand. But I can't without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. That's where I learned to stand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought that I could do a lot on my own. And I thought could make it and all alone.
Thought of myself,
I'd be less than a man. 'Cause I can't even walk without you holding.
If I don't trust him, I'd be less than a man.
'Cause I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
holding my hand, the mountains too high, and the valleys too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
You know, if we could this morning, while we're going to sing one more verse of that, but while we're singing, let's just bring up our offering this morning, because that's showing God, you know, that we trust Him and we give Him His part. And He is so good today. And I thank Him for this offering. I thank Him for everyone that came today. So let's come and give as we sing this last verse. Thank you, Lord.
And I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could be on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Without you holding my hand, the mountains too high and the valleys too wide, down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. Where I learned to stay, and Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand.
Amen. You may be seated. I just ask that you would welcome Brother Jerry as he comes this morning. And we just thank God that we don't have to walk without holding His hand. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Well, the praise team done a good job, didn't they? Yeah. They done a fantastic. Thank y'all for doing that song for me. And there was a reason I wanted that song done today. And Charles said he had it on his heart, too. We're going to be in 1 Kings today. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to do the whole chapter. What time is it? I left my watch, so we'll be here till we get done, amen. Now I have a tablet and a phone that I can tell the time. So I don't. Y'all can. Now some of y'all could do this, you know, when it gets to be 12:30 or 1. Just kidding. Not really. We just don't know how God's going to move, right? Amen. We go in God's time, not our time. Until we realize that, you know, a lot of people, you know, 33 points in a poem and they go home. Well, I want 3 points of poem in Jesus, amen? So, and let Jesus, let the Holy Spirit do what He's going to do. 1 Kings chapter 18, we'll be starting with verse 1. I tell you, God is good. All the time. God is so good. And the reason I got Charles and them to do that song, You Can't Even Walk. I can't even walk. I can't. How many's heard where that Christians use Jesus as a crutch, right? Have y'all heard that? Well, yeah. Okay, he's not my crutch. He's my helper. I'm going to lean on him. The Bible says, you know, let him be the light to our path. The Word. Jesus is the Word, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus is the Word, and the Bible says, let thy word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So that means Jesus is the light to my path, right? So he is, I'm going to lean on him. I'm going to put him first, or try to. So the title of the message today is, there's no plan B. What if you don't have a plan B? How many make plans? How many is a planner like I am? I try to make plans, and I like a to-do list. That way I know I can get everything done. Some of y'all planners, not. Anybody, raise your hand. We got a couple that like to-do lists. I do. I like to check them off. You try, but they don't like you? Well, they won't let you. Now, if we go on vacation, I don't have a to-do list. I get rid of the to-do list, and I'm going to be to done with things. Amen. But a lot of us, we make plans. And those plans don't always pan out, right? Well, Elijah had a plan one day. And he had no option B. He had no plan B. He had no plan B. You know, Jesus ought to be our plan A all the time. There should be no plan B for us. There should be plan A, and his name is Jesus. Or it should be plan J, right? Amen? Plan Jesus. That should be who we go to. And it said, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. He said that was a mission that Elijah had to do, right? What he said? Go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. Anybody knows how long it's been without rain? Around 3 years, somewhere around there, 3 years or so. Been no rain. Can you imagine? No rain for that long. Now, a couple weeks ago, we were begging for no rain because it was raining every day. Well, it was. We were in Texarkana. It wasn't raining at all, hardly, just a few little thunderstorms. But back in Mississippi, it was raining every day. I was looking at the weather, and I'm like, good grief, y'all are getting rain every day. But there was no rain for 3 years. Couldn't grow crops. Our tomato plants would have been withered up. Right? So he had a mission. He said he was told to do something by God. Now that's a plan, right? So Elijah had a plan. Now Ahab was going to kill him. Jezebel hated him. Jezebel and Ahab hated Elijah. They'd already killed a bunch of prophets. They'd already tried to kill a bunch of people. I'm not going to go back into the previous chapters. Elijah had just raised a widow's son, right? So he is riding high. I'm going to Elijah. God said, go, I'm going to go. Verse 4, it says, for so it was Jezebel massacred. Boy, can you imagine? Massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and had fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Elijah, and we're going to go on down to verse 7. Verse 7 says, suddenly, or now as Obadiah was on his way, he was going somewhere. It's not the Obadiah in the Bible. He is in the Bible, but it's not the Obadiah book, right? Different guy, not the same prophet. So, it said, suddenly, Elijah met him. Suddenly. Did you know this is one of the first instances of translation in the Bible? Or Elijah just showed up somewhere. Undoubtedly, because there's another verse down in here in the verses we're going to read where it happens again, because they're all going to be translated. Can you imagine translation? I'm here. Now I'm in China preaching the gospel. Wow, wouldn't that be cool? Now, as long as God let me know, because that would be one shocker to walk in. Now, I heard of stories where people walk into they were at the airport to take a plane, and they walked into the bathroom, if I'm not mistaken, and they ended up in another country. Well, that'd be cool. Plan A, Jesus. Right? So Elijah, we know the story. He's on Mount Carmel. He's talking to Ahab. Verse 12, he had just, well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to verse 8. In his eye, go tell your master Elijah's here. Elijah's on his way to see Ahab, right? So he's gone there. I'm trying to give you a background, but I don't want to take too much time. And so he said, have I sinned that you are delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? This is Obadiah talking, or Obadiah talking to Elijah. As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. See, Elijah was, they were hunting to kill him, right? They were going to kill Elijah. Can you imagine being hunted? I mean, I can't. I can't imagine somebody wanting to kill me. I've been threatened about preaching the gospel. I've had people threaten me with, you know, to tell me they're going to kill me if I didn't quit preaching and things like that. Wow, that was 20 years ago or longer. And I'm still preaching. So they failed. Amen? And I didn't stop. So Elijah was like, I'm going to Ahab. I'm going to do this. And I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. He said, I'm going to tell Elijah what I need to tell him. I'm going to do my mission God has put me on. Right? I have a plan. My plan is to do what God says. See, this is the plan A that we should all have. I'm going to do what God says do. I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. I'm going to be obedient to what the will of God is. So Elijah goes to Ahab. Verse 15, he said, Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts, I don't care if he's going to kill me or whatever he does, going to do. As the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to Ahab or to him today. Ahab wants to kill me, but I'm going anyway. Why? Because God told him to in verse 18, or chapter 1, or chapter 18, verse 1. God told him what to do. Now, God sends you somewhere, go. Right? How many wants to go to Africa and preach the gospel? Really? Two? All I seen was two hands. Wow, that's good. That's two more than I thought we'd get. Amen. I would love to go to a crusade over there. I would love to go preach the gospel in Africa or Asia or Europe or anywhere. I would love to go preach the gospel there, and I'm going to. Praise God. We're going to get this gospel out. So Elijah was given a mission, and he said, I don't care who is in my way. I don't care that Ahab wants to kill me. I'm going. Plan A, follow God, right? Plan A, follow God, no matter what it does, no matter the consequences, no matter what happens, I'm going to follow God. Well, we're going to see what happens. I mean, Elijah had plan A, no plan B. Plan B was dead, right? Plan A, I'm going to do what God says do. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And as soon as Ahab saw Elijah, verse 17, he said, is that you, O troubler of Israel? Oh, I like what Elijah tells him. He says, that's the one, are you the one that's causing all the problems? And Elijah's like, no. Verse 18. And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now he's standing there before a king. The king says, you're the one troubling Israel. He said, no, it's you. Nope, not me, bub. You. You're the one that sinned against God. You're the one that's caused the trouble. You're the one that's killed all the prophets. You're the man. Now that's boldness, right? That's no plan B right there. That's not caring about death. See, once we get to the point that death doesn't matter, we can do more for God. Right? Once we push death out of the way, and go, no, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Once we get to the point Paul was, he said, I'd rather go on, but it's expedient for me to stay. See, we got to get to the point that we're going to obey God no matter what the consequences. Would you walk up in the middle of a biker gang and preach the gospel? Boy, it got quiet in this place. Quick. I hope you would. Because I don't care. I'll tell anybody, anywhere, anytime about Jesus. Now, I have failed God before and not spoke when I should have spoke. He answered, I'm not troubled, Israel, but you and your father's house, in that you've forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals, followed idols. You, king, are the cause of Israel's trouble. He said, now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asher who eat at Jezebel's table. See, Jezebel followed Asher and Ahab followed Baal. How many people is that? 450 plus 400. 850 people. Can you imagine one man against 850 people? One man. Now, we can talk about David's mighty men. They killed how many? Thousands? They killed so many that their sword stuck in their hand that killed a lion in a pit on a snowy day. That's always tickled me. I don't know why they said told it like that. But that's always funny to me. That's just in a pit on a snowy day. I think it's because it's, can you imagine fighting in the snow and how cold it would be? And on top of it, fighting a lion. Elijah, 850 people. He said, you gather them all together. Verse 20, so Ahab and all the children sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to the people and said, how long? See, we got to answer this question for ourselves. How long? How long will you, the King James says halt between two opinions, but the New King James, the actual word for halt is falter. How long will you falter between? How long will you not decide who you're going to serve? See, that's a question we all got the answer. How long will I just not decide who I'm going to serve? How long am I going to try to straddle the fence? Well, did you know the fence belongs to the devil? See, if you sit on top of the fence, it's his. You got to make a decision. Who are you going to serve and if you're going to have no plan B? Well, I'm going to do this, but if this don't work, I'm going to do this. No. When God tells you to do something, you carry that mission out no matter what. You carry out the scriptures no matter what. See, we ought not have a plan B. We ought to have a plan A, and his name's Jesus. We ought to have a plan A. When God says it, do it. No matter what the consequences, no matter what happens, you ought to do what God says do. How many of us that flow in the gifts of the Spirit have been given a word and not done it? You ain't got to raise your hand, but thank you for that. We have some honest people. I've been told to do it, and I just sit back and not do it. And I argue with God. Anybody ever argue with God? Woo! Well, that hurts, don't it? Don't argue with him, just do it. I find that the faster you do it, the better it is usually. I've had words for people in this church and other places that they were praying that very thing that I walked up and spoke to them by the Holy Ghost. The very thing. And they're going, oh my goodness. What if I would have held off? What if I wouldn't have went? They wouldn't have got what they needed from God, right? It would have been my fault. See, we can't halt between two opinions. We cannot falter. He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Hey, let's, and then he goes on, and I don't even know what time it is. Ooh, I got 15 more minutes plus 20. So he says, okay, I'm going to get on into the message because we got to move on and expedite. There's some things. So how long will we falter? He said, okay, if God be God, let him be God. But if Baal, let Baal be God. Let's just have a competition. Right? Let's see who's God. So he said, I tell you what, since I'm by myself, there's just one of me, y'all can go first. Y'all go ahead, all 850 of y'all, go shout to Baal, do what you're going to do. So I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, and I'm not going to read all of that. That's a lot to read, but go read 1 Kings 18, it's wonderful. So they're doing their craziness. They're to the point they're cutting themselves. See, that was part of worship of other idols and things. They cut themselves. So they had prepared a bull, and yeah, they were doing their thing. Elijah's over there. Elijah, man, this guy's cool, right? He said, I love what he tells them. Now, this is confidence in God, right? How many's got confidence? Now, I have a shirt that somebody here bought me, and I love it because I've preached the sermon. It says, Godfidence. Godfidence, right? I've got confidence in God, and this is confidence right here. Verse 27. So he gave them time to do all that they were going to do, and they were crying and jumping on the altar, doing all kind of crazy stuff, cutting themselves, and they're going to cut themselves later in this verse, but they did all that. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them. Okay, there's 850 of you, and there's one of me. Now I'm a big boy. I was in the army, and I kind of know how to fight. But if I'm by myself, and there's 850, I'm going the other way, right? Unless God has spoke to me. See, and God spoke to him. He said, okay, guys, perhaps. I love this verse. And so it was at noon, Elijah mocked them and said, cry with a loud voice. And said to them, cry aloud, for is he God? Is he meditating? Or is he busy? Or is he on a journey? Or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awoke or awakened. I know that's King James. I'm reading New King James. I can read it up there, I guess. He's either talking, or he's going after somebody, or pursuing, or he's on a journey, or peradventure, maybe, just maybe, he's asleep. The Bible says, my God doesn't sleep nor slumber. And must be awakened. Verse 28. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after the manner with knives and lances till blood gushed upon them. Out upon them. Can you imagine? Cutting yourself for God. For a false God. See, Elijah didn't have to do none of that. Verse 29, and then midday was passed. They prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. There was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. Their gods didn't answer. Why? Because they are not real. See, when God gives you a mission, you do it. I don't care if it's 850 people against you, or 1,000 people, or one person. You go do it. But I'm going, what if they don't like me? Right? What if they make fun of me? So? Are you going to be obedient to God? The Bible says it's better to be obedient than to sacrifice. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Better to be obedient than to sacrifice. Samuel was telling Saul that he had messed up. He said, what's this bleeding in my ear? You know, he's hearing the sheep bleeding. He says, it's better to be obedient than to sacrifice. It's better to obey. So what are you going to do? So they do all this, and, well, nothing happened. So Elijah said to all the people, y'all come here, and y'all listen to me. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to show you what God can do. I'm going to show you what God can do. So I'm going to paraphrase for a little while longer. So he said, okay, let's build the altar, right? So they built the altar that was broken. They had to build it back up like it was supposed to be. And they took a bull and they poured water on it. Anybody know how many times they poured water on it without looking? Three times. Three. They poured it on three times. He did it one time. He did it a second time. And so the water ran all around the altar and filled the trench up they had dug. So what did Elijah do? Is he nervous? Is he scared? I don't know. I don't think so. Because he is already on a mission for God. There was no plan B. I had one plan, and that was to do what God said. I was against 850 people that had knives, right? Because they were cutting themselves. I had 800. I got 850 over here that doesn't love God, but I got one man that is on a mission for God and doing exactly what God said. So it's one man. He prayed and in verse 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, at the right time, I want you to notice that. He done it at the right time of day. And Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God, what did he do? He prayed first. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or Israel here, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and I have done all these things at your word. See, there's the key. I've done them because you told me to. And if God tells you to do it, you better do it, because he's going to back you up with a whole angel army. He may have been one man, but he has got an army following him, and the army is angels. Verse 37. He said, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that just thy people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Verse 38. Then, what he done it at the right time. He done it because God told him to. But then something happened. The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God, he is God. Ooh, praise God. No plan B. He didn't need a plan B. He needed plan one, and that was Jesus, plan A. All this happened. And Elijah kills all 850 people. That's pretty wild. Like, man. Okay, God just done something. God, in verse 17, Elijah had raised a child from the dead, right? Now Elijah just called fire down from heaven. God done the work. See, when you realize it's God doing the work, not you, that's the whole key. God told me to do it. He's going to back me up with the help I need, with the authority and the power that I need to do it. So if you don't have a plan B, that's good, because God's got plan A. We've had a lot of times in our lives that there was no plan B, that we didn't know what we were going to do. Money not there. It shows up. Right? I mean, it just shows up out of the blue. The government, they said we owed them money. They actually owed us money. It was a battle. We were arguing and fighting, and they had owed us like $6,000, and they said we owed them $6,000, and it was not. We refiled and refiled and refiled, and they kept losing. Kept losing it for 3 years. No, I'm not lying, Emma Sandy. 3 years they lost every return we sent them, showing them that they owed us the money. 3 years. So we wake up one day and our bank accounts are frozen. House got a lien on it till we pay it all off. We have no money. They took it all. We come to church, I had a $100 bill in my pocket. Kid you not. $100 bill, that's all I had. That was for groceries, that was for whatever we needed. She looked at me, I looked at her, and we said, we're going to put it in the plate because we're going to sew it, because it does not meet our need. We needed well over $1,000 more just for to get the bank unlocked. I mean, it was, and they took all our money. How are you going to unlock a bank when you got no money to unlock it, because they just locked it, right? So we get to church. We don't know what we're going to do. Don't know how we're going to feed our family. Don't tell nobody. Give her, except God. God, we're going to give this to you as our seed. Drop it in the aisle. We come back to church that night, not knowing what we're going to do. And I ain't knowing how we're going to buy gas, right? We had enough gas to get to church and back, of course. I don't even know how I'm going to buy gas to go to work to pay the money that they say we owe that we don't owe. So we had no plan A. Plan A was to sow. That's the plan. We're going to trust God no matter what. We go put the $100 bill in. That's all we had. No money. We get back to church that night. Somebody walks up and hands us exactly the amount we need. Exactly. Just hand it to us. And then somebody else comes and hands us grocery money for the rest of the week and gas money. So I had to take off work the next day, which the money covered me missing work. See, that's just how good God is. There's always a plan, and God's always got you on a mission. Right? No plan A. When you don't know what you got to do, just go to God. You say, well, that sounds simple. Well, it kind of is, right? Now, all this Elijah had saw, right? Then the rain, this is what gets me. We go all the way down to verse 41, and I'm going to try to expedite this. Verse 41, Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink. There's a sound of abundance of rain. It hadn't rained in 3 years. Hadn't rained in a little over three years. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. Wait a minute now. Ahab like done exactly what Elijah said. Now Elijah was finna kill him. Ahab was going to kill Elijah, right? Now Ahab's doing what Elijah told him to do. See, that's what God will do. This is what Jesus can do for you. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went to the top of Carmel. And he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees. And I had all this before I was going to talk about bowing and all that, but we're going to go on. Go up now and look toward the sea. Elijah had so much confidence, he said, go look. Go look and see if there's any rain coming. Go look and tell me you see some clouds. The guy comes back, and he didn't. No, there ain't no cloud. Instantly, all of us would have said, man, I knew I heard from God, and walk away. Most of us, right? Elijah said, no, go back and check again. Come back. Still ain't seen nothing. Boss man, I hadn't seen nothing. There ain't a drop of cloud. It's some clear blue skies. Go do it again. By this time, the servant's probably going, man, you done lost your mind, but I'm going anyway because you told me to. No, I don't know what he was thinking, but that's probably what we would have been thinking, right? The sixth time, nothing happened. Six times. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Wow, nothing. No rain coming. Elijah sent him back one more time. He said, go again. See, that's when you don't stop. When God puts you on a mission, what was the mission? Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. I will. When God tells you he will, he will. If his word says it, he will. The Bible says he wants you well, he will heal. Right? The Bible says he wants you to prosper and be in health. So that means you will. The problem is we stop at six times instead of going to seventh. Amen? Come on now. Amen. He said, go again. And it came to pass the seventh time, verse 44, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. And he said, all right, that's good enough. Go tell Ahab. I love this. So he said, go up and say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Wait a minute, it hadn't rained in 3 years, and there's a little tiny cloud, and he tells Ahab, you better go now because the rain's going to be raining so hard, you're not going to be able to go because your chariots are going to be in the mud. See, it is time, folks, that we got to that seventh time. That time we know that when God told us to do something, that we're going to keep on doing it and keep on doing it till we see the rain cloud. Yeah. I got a tickle, praise the Lord. In my throat, that's not good. See, we stop too short most of the time. Well, we got a mission. God said, go do it because rain's coming. What if Elijah would have stopped it the sixth time? What would have happened? He said, go again. See, church, it's time we go again. Because rain's coming. And it's going to rain so hard that your chariots are going to be stuck in the mud. I'm telling you, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And it's coming. It's coming. Now it happened in the meantime. See, some of you in the meantime right now, some of you are waiting. Oh, keep on waiting. Go again. Some of you are still waiting. Go again. But it's not happened yet. Go again. It hadn't happened yet. I've done been six times. Go again. Just like Nahum had to go to the river Jordan and dip seven times. He said, can I not just go to another river? Can I not just go somewhere else and do it? No, plan A is the only thing going to work. Then the little servant girl loved it. She said, why are you having such a trouble going to the river where he told you to go? Why is it a problem? The man of God said it. Why don't you just go do it? So Nahum, Naaman. He said, okay, I'll just go do it. One time, nothing happens. Oh, two times, nothing happens. Three times, I'm still got leprosy. Four times, I'm still a leper. Five times, I'm still a leper. Six times, I'm still a leper. I go out in the bank. I'm going home. I'm not doing it seven times. That's where you are and I am sometimes. We stop short. Nahum said, nope, I'm going under the seventh time. The man of God said, do it. God told me to do it. It's a mission I got to do. So I'm going to do it. Boom, seventh time come up and I'm like a baby skin. I'm telling you, God's plan works. It may take a time or two. Because he's got to get us in position where we'll receive what he's got for us. Right? So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. He's like, well, I better go. The man of God, wait a minute. I'm just the guy I'm supposed to kill. Just told me to get on my chariot and leave. And I'm going to do it. And what, doggone right, because I just saw fire from heaven. Doggone right, I just saw what God can do. I'm leaving. Right? So he gets on his chariot. He leaves. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. The hand of the Lord came upon him. And he girded up his loins and he ran ahead and beat Ahab. He outrun a chariot to the entrance of Jezreel. He beat him there. That dude was scooting when he took out running. But we just saw all this, right? How high are you going to be on God? Woo! I am strong. That's me. I'm strong. So Jezebel said, I'm going to kill that rascal. She killed all my prophets. Look at verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and all that had been and all how he had executed the prophets with the sword. Elijah killed all of them. Elijah by himself, one man, 850 people. It's pretty good, right? And then Jezebel sent messengers. Elijah said, I'm going to kill you, boy. Now Elijah's running for his life now. Wait a minute. This same guy just saw fire from heaven, called up rain, raised somebody from the dead. Now he's running from a lady that says she's going to kill him. Ahab said he's going to kill him too, but he runs from her. Said, guys, that just goes to show you, we're more scared of women than we are anybody else. Amen. I'm more scared of my wife than anybody, a big bad booger bear, I'm telling you. I am. So, then she said, let the gods do to me, and more also if I don't make this his life as one of those that by tomorrow at this time. And when he saw this, he arose and ran for his life. See, Elijah is just like us. How many have seen a miracle? Raise your hand. How many have seen a miracle? How many has had a miracle in your life? Right? Why can't we trust God for another one? See, Elijah just raised somebody from the dead, just called fire down from heaven, just killed 850 people by himself with a sword. Then he said, I see some rain coming. And rain came. Now this woman says, I'm going to kill him. And he runs for his life. Why? Why? Because we're just like that. We can't remember what God's done for us. We tend to forget. Do you know the Bible says that we need to rehearse, right? Rehearse the things that God done, that God's done for us in our life. Rehearse them. Write them down. Go back and read them. I have a prophecy playlist. No lie. I have on my phone, you can go hit my prophecy playlist. And every prophetic word that I've ever gotten that has been on audio is in my phone. And I can sit and listen to it. I'll be driving down the road and I'll hit the Bluetooth and hit play and listen to it. Rehearsing what God had said to me. Rehearsing it. See, there's no plan B. But Elijah's running from this woman. That after killing 850 people, he's scared of her. Verse 4, and I'm almost done. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he prayed that he might die. Prayed that he might die. Fear will destroy you. And I understand why. I mean, I've seen so much that God has done. I've seen people come out of wheelchairs. I've seen folks that have been super sick and get up and walk away. I've had foot heal. I've seen a broke foot that was twisted backwards pop back into place when God could come in the room and took care of it. It snapped. I heard it snap back into place, and they got up and walked off. Seen what God can do. Seen the miracles of God, had financial miracles and healing miracles, and have laid hands on people, and cancer's gone, and hearts have been made new. But still, there's times that I forget those things. Just like all y'all, I'm no different. We forget those things. That's when we got to remember what God has done and trust what God says He's going to do. I got a mission. That mission is to do what God says do. And I don't care what gets in the way, we have got to do that mission. Ahab said God told Ahab to go tell Elijah. God told Elijah to go tell Ahab there's rain coming. Go tell him it's in the rain. Along the way, he had to kill 850 people. Call fire down from heaven. Along the way, he had things to do. But he done it. Now he's terrified. Now he's running, even to the point that he just wants to die. Now take my life, I'm no better than my father's. Then, verse 5, then he lay under, slept under a broom tree, and suddenly an angel touched him. Wake up and eat. Get up. Eat. He ate, fell back asleep. Get up. Eat again, the journey's too long for you. So he left from there, and he went and said in verse 11 of chapter 19, he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Now, he went 40 days on that angel food, by the way. 40 days. When an angel feeds you, buddy, you can go a long time. Then he went out and said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And the Lord passed by, and it was a great wind and an earthquake. And we know the story, right? I'm not going to sit there and read it all. It said, the great wind, a strong wind, rent the mountains and break the rocks into pieces. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind and earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. Go ahead and verse 12. The last part of verse 12, he said, and after the fire, he heard a still small voice. Elijah heard the voice of God, a a still, small voice, and it got his attention. Verse 15, or no, I'm sorry, not verse 15, verse 13. And so it was when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a mantle. The mantle was the power of God, right? Because that's how he got across the rivers. He'd throw that mantle down. Phew. That represented the anointing, right? So he wrapped the mantle around his head so he couldn't see anything else. He couldn't see the earthquakes. He couldn't see the wind. He couldn't see the fire. So he wrapped. He got to a place where it was quiet. He got to a place where nothing was bothering him. He got to a place where he couldn't hear anything but God. And God said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Wow, what a question. What a question. "Elijah, you just saw all this that I've done. What are you doing here? Why are you here? Why are you here?" Then Elijah whines a little. He said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord of hosts because your children of Israel are forsaken, your covenant torn down your altars and killed your prophets with a sword. I alone am left and they seek to take my life." He said, and God said, "No, you're not alone. You're never alone." We've got to get down to where we understand that God's plan is better than ours and will always be. What plan do you have? What plan has God told you to do? Have you done it? Has God told you to do something and you not done it? Well, do your plan A, because that's all you've got. You've got to do what God says do. The Lord gave me a prophetic word last Sunday morning, and some of you may have read it, some of you may not have, but the Lord instructed me to read this today. And I was standing over there last Sunday, and the Lord just kind of showed me something about Elijah and the church. And I'm going to, I guess I'll paraphrase it. I may read it all. I don't know. And he said, the church world has become just like Elijah. You've seen my miracles. You've seen them, right? But fear has taken over. Even after all that you've experienced, even after all the miracles you've seen, we've let fear take control. But the Lord said he is sending his spirit to strengthen us. And he is sending his angels as a forward and a rear guard. He said to rebuke the fear. Remember, bring into remembrance everything that he has done and everything that he will do again, because he is faithful. And just like Elijah was strengthened, so will you be. Just as he went 40 days after the angel of the Lord fed him, so will you be strengthened. And just like Elijah when he covered his face to block out all the things that are not of God, we must block the voices of the enemy and listen for that still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Church, it's time that we stood on what God's plan is. Find out what God's plan is. You know how you find that out? Right here. You're getting the word. Find out what he wants you to do. Find out your gifts and callings of God. Find out exactly what your plan is. And when you find out, run with it. I don't care if you have to go 7 times. Run with the plan God has for your life. God's got a good plan. His plan is perfect. Elijah was told to go to Ahab that was going to kill him. Ended up, Elijah called fire down from heaven. Ended up, rain came. Why? Because God said it was. If God said it, you better believe you can take it to the bank. Some of you don't have a plan B. Some of you think you're making your own plans in this life. I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what the consequences are. God's telling you now, you better do my plan. You better make my plan your priority. My plan is the only way, he says. God has said His plan is the only way. Jesus is the only way. There's no other way. There's no other way. Jesus is the only answer. He will handle every problem, every situation. Did you know the word sozo, salvation, is nothing missing, nothing broken. He wants to come into your life and fix you. A lot of us need fixing, amen? Anybody perfect yet? I still need fixing. He's still working on me. Jesus loves you. He wants you to obey His plan. When there's no plan B. Plan B will get you in trouble. Plan B will get you killed. Plan A will keep you alive. Have you ever been driving and all of a sudden you got to go a different route home? Have you ever had that experience? Just got to go a different way. Don't you think this Holy Spirit going, go the other way. Go the other way. Why? Because He is wanting you to follow His plan. I've been driving. Well, it just only happened to me one time. And I was disobedient. I was driving. He said, go the other way. And the other way was a long way home. And I was in a hurry. I wanted to get home. I get to close to my exit. The Holy Spirit spoke to me again. Go that way. I'm just thinking. I'm tired. I'm ready to get home. And I kid you not, my seatbelt was loose. And it tightened up so tight that it jerked me back and held me up against the back of my seat where I could not move till I turned. You better listen to what God is telling you. Because there was something that was coming in my way that God did not want me to get in touch with. And He sent an angel to snag my seatbelt, put me in the back of the seat. I'm a big boy. It's going to be hard to move me, but son, He pinned me back like I wasn't nothing. And when I turned the curve, I hit my brakes, turned the curve, it let loose. A seatbelt does not let loose when you hit your brakes, right? I hit my brakes, and as soon as I was on the brakes and I took the exit, the seatbelt let up. And I apologized to the Holy Spirit for not listening. Some of you need to apologize to the Holy Spirit for not listening. Some of us need to go, God, I'm here. What's my mission? I'm ready to listen. I've done it my way, and my way failed. How many of us have done it our way, and it failed every time? It's time to do it His way today. It's time to be restored. It's time that He restored your life. I'll tell you what, we're going to have an altar call. We don't do it. Junior, you can play and sing, or if somebody else wants to come up and sing or whatever y'all want to do, but we're going to have an altar call. And if you need to come up and just say, I'm going to give God and I'm going to do His plan. But maybe you don't know Jesus as Savior. And you need to ask Jesus in your heart. Maybe you don't have a clue what I'm talking about right now. And you never accepted Jesus as Savior. Right now is the time to say, Jesus, I'm yours. I give myself away. I give myself to You. Take me. Make me who You want me to be. And I'll follow Your plan, Your way, and not mine. Let's stand. If you need to come to the altar and pray, if you need salvation, come up here. We will pray with you. If you need me to pray if you're sick, if you need anything from Jesus, follow His plan, because His plan is the only way and the right way. Hallelujah, Jesus.
I give myself away.
Give yourself to Him today. Let Him have
it. I give myself away. So
put your plans out of the way and give Him your plan. His plan. Say, I'll do Your plan, God, not mine.
I give myself away. I give myself away. So You can use me.
Bless you for being here.
Thank you, Lord.
Hope you got something from the Word.
Amen.
Our pastor is on vacation, a much needed vacation after a very rough week. So y'all pray for them.
Amen.
Tonight, I'll be back for 5 o'clock for prayer meeting, 6 o'clock for ministry. No youth over there tonight. I don't know about youth. Service. I think they can put it on hold too. I think all youth is on hold for a little while. So appreciate you guys coming. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. God, let it be nourishment to our bodies, Father God. Let it be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God, let it fill me with your plans, with your everything that you would have me to do, Father God. Everyone here today, Father God, I submit myself to you right now. God, that your plans and your ways will be made known to me and be made known to the congregation. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tell somebody you love before you go.